Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and John Waters may have moved from cult movies like Pink Flamingos and Polyester to the mainstream, back with his 1988 hit Hairspray, which eventually became a Broadway musical. But in his recent book, Role Models, it's clear he's not leaving his outsider roots behind, along with chapters on Johnny Mathis, Little Richard, and designer Reiko Kubo. There's one about his friend Leslie serving time for one of the Manson killings, one on a local Baltimore stripper, and a chapter on outsider porn. What does it take to be a role model for John Waters? I'll ask him. He joins us now. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi.
The book's simply called Role Models. And listeners, maybe you want to call in with some of your more unusual role models. We've had that question out on our Facebook page today. We can take them on the air as well, 212-433-WNYC, or if you want to talk to John Waters. Maybe the most surprising thing in the book is the first chapter about Johnny Mathis.
Yeah.
What do you look for in a role model?
Well, I'm looking for people that have had extreme lives. And Johnny Mathis had instant success from the moment he began. No racial prejudice, no anything. And that is very hard to survive, too. You know people in show business that have instant success, and it usually drives them crazy. They use up their whole career. 1 year, they're back where they started from. So I'm amazed. He, in some ways, is the opposite of me. So I went to the first makeout party. I heard his music. You never get over that.
We noticed that last night in Glee, it was all about self-acceptance and featured Lady Gaga's song Born That Way. Where do we find outsiders today when popular culture seems to embrace so much of what used to qualify?
Well, come to Baltimore. You'll find many of them. The thing in Baltimore is that everybody thinks they're normal, but they act insane. And that is the kind of people that I'm really interested in, people that believe they're totally normal. In New York, everybody I know thinks they're insane, but I can predict what they're going to do. They're kind of normal. So I'm much more interested in people that I have a chapter in the book about called Baltimore Heroes, which is about people that certainly have lived very untraditional lives and would have been thought of by the social networks as very bad mothers. But the kids turned out great and they really love their mother, even though they realized their mother was what would be called a bad parent.
And speaking of Born That Way, you seem fascinated by wayward children, writing about the actress who starred in The Bad Seed, as well as others, including yourself. And yet you also endorse Freud and talk therapy. Are outsiders born or made?
Well, I think that some ways they're always made. I believe in the opposite of what I was taught in the Catholic religion of original sin. I don't believe anybody's born guilty. I believe that you're born innocent and terrible or great things happen to you. And I don't believe in karma because so many of my friends are dead that were great people, and I know a lot of jerks that are alive today. So I don't believe in karma either. But I do believe that Freud was right about a lot of things. And even if you don't agree with him, he's a really funny writer. Read his books about the psychotic Dr. Schwaber and the Wolf Man. And they're really great books. He was a great writer.
The amusing side of Sigmund Freud, a topic that hasn't come up on the show before. I said in introducing you that you moved into the mainstream with Hairspray. Do you see it that way? Did you move or did popular culture move?
Well, I think that it happened accidentally. I mean, Role Models, my book was on the New York Times bestseller list, on the LA Times bestseller list. Who ever thought that could have happened? So I'm really thrilled to be an insider now. I'm not an outsider anymore. I can't really say that. But everybody wants to be an outsider now. When I was young, nobody wanted to be an outsider. It was like an outcast. It meant bad. Now everybody is proud to call themselves an outsider. So I think it's kind of used up, that term.
And you write in the book that you're no fan of marriage. Does the fight for gay marriage discourage you? Did you suspect that underneath it all, gay culture really wanted to be the suburban culture that you skewered in films like Pink Flamingos?
Well, certainly I'm for everybody being able to marry whoever they want. I personally don't want to imitate a heterosexual tradition that I find kind of corny. But yet I know gay couples that have been married, been together for 30 years, and they certainly deserve tax protection, health protection, all that kind of stuff. I would owe three alimonies. I've always said you want to invest in money, tattoo removal, and 3D avatar quality porn are really the way to investigate. But still, I would vote against any politician that was against gay marriage. Do I want to have gay marriage? Not especially, but I think I should be able to marry this earphone if I want to in my own private ceremony that I write. It's my personal life, and I think I should be able to do that.
As long as it was a consenting earphone.
Yes, yes.
I understand you're going to read a little from the final chapter of the book, which is called Cult Leader, and our guest is John Waters, talking primarily about his book, Role Models.
All right. This is the final chapter in the book. I'm so tired of writing cult filmmaker on my income tax forms. If only I could write cult leader, I'd finally be happy. Would you come on a spiritual pilgrimage with me to Baltimore, naturally, where I deracinate you from your family after you've stolen all their rare art books and turned them over to our communal library? And together, we'd concentrate on what really matters in life, our infallibility. Pope Benedict XVI may have denounced filth, but we know better. Filth is just the beginning battle in the war on taste. The certain megalomania we all share will strengthen our delusions of grandeur and make it possible for us to go that extra step into what I will call radical holiness. Fellow faith followers, isolated, we are just ex-Catholics or slacker Jews fighting over the limits of shame or guilt. Or worse yet, Protestants turned alcoholic atheist, or chicken agnostics who bow out on the big questions daily. Together, we can become saints of sordidness, the damned, the disinherited, the disrespected, and the despised, as Jesse Jackson once so beautifully called his followers. Perverts who are fanatical in their devotion to a new dogma of dirt. Yes, a filth movement for the next century, which will claw its way down the ladder of respectability to the final Armageddon of the elimination of the tyranny of good taste, a rapture of rottenness that will flower like a poisonous mold to cover the prison of acceptance. Yes, we are ready to take over the world.
Very amusing. John Waters reading.
Hopefully, yes, you realize that's hopefully amusing. Yes.
Role models, although it does say something about what we were talking about before, about how, you know, if it's now in to be fringe and everybody tries to wear the outsider badge, then maybe true outsiderness has to get more and more and more extreme.
Yes, because most everything is accepted, but it's accepted in a class basis. Rich kids' schools, it's fine to be gay, and poor kids' schools is still bad. So I never knew that homosexuality was a class issue, but it's become one.
Listeners, your unusual role models, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or on our Facebook page where Joseph writes, I like Jesse Eisenberg as depicted in the film The Social Network. What's wrong with knowing what you want and going out and getting it? I guess he means Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes, yeah, certainly.
Who, you know, there's a classic story of outsider becoming capitalist who takes over the world.
Yeah, and I've always wondered, everybody said, what's the new fashion? You know, when I grew up, it was beatniks and then hippies and then punks and then grunge and then rappers. What is it now? If you're a bad boy, you're a hacker. And there's no look except bad posture from being in front of your computer all day long.
And we can't talk about cults, even in jest, without talking about Leslie Van Houten, who you list as one of your role models, though she is still serving time for her part in the Manson family murders of the LaBiancas in 1969.
Yes.
What makes her a role model?
Well, certainly I take all humor out of this now if we're going to discuss this. I'm very serious about it. She just got turned down again since my book came out. I believe in redemption. I believe that, and I am not the victim's family, which I would never critique or say they were wrong in what they feel. But at the same time, she met a madman in 1969, and when she was 17, and one of the most famous madmen of the world, and has been in jail for 40 years. That's not nothing. She believes she should have gone to prison. She lives with interminable guilt and looks back on great horror what she did. What happens? What can you do? Do you never deserve a second chance? And that is a very, very complicated question. She's a role model to me because of her patience. She has made a life in prison. She has helped people for years. She's become a better person than she would have been if she hadn't committed the crime, I believe.
You were on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me last weekend, and you invited host Peter Sagal to Baltimore, saying it's the only city in the world. If you say I'm moving to New York, people say why.
That's true.
You spend quite a bit of time here, too. Why would New Yorkers want to head to Charm City, Baltimore?
Well, the rent is a lot cheaper, and we got edge. I don't see a lot of edge in Manhattan these days. We got it in Baltimore, I promise you.
You got edge in Baltimore?
Yeah, we do. And a lot of kids are moving there from New York to Baltimore. You can get huge places. There's definite art community. There's great bars there. And we mix hillbillies, hipsters, the ghetto, rich people all hang out in the same places. So it can make a scary walk to the car, but a great city.
Did you happen to see, speaking of Baltimore, Maureen Dowd's column this morning?
I did
see
it.
We just have a minute left, but she wrote about Chrissy Leopolis, who's transgendered and was beat up at a McDonald's in Baltimore County. Should we be encouraged that the McDonald's employee who filmed it and posted it to YouTube got fired?
Well, I don't think we should be encouraged by anything that happens there. I'm for unisex bathrooms. What happened to them? People started taking cocaine in them. That's why they don't have them. Let everybody be able to go in every bathroom. Men, women in the booths. They have female urinals in the drive-in in Baltimore, for real, that left over from the 50s at the Benji's drive-in. Let's have it all. That way you can take a pic. Nobody will be mad.
And the girls who beat her up may be prosecuted for a hate crime. We will have to leave
it. You have to say it was pretty hateful, yeah.
Absolutely. We will leave it there. John Waters' book, Role Models, is just out in paperback. Thank you so much.
Thank you.